Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil kalamil majid wal furqanil hamid. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةُ عِمَادُ الدِّينِ مَنْ أَقَامَهَا فَقَدْ أَقَامَ الدِّينَ وَمَنْ هَدَمَهَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Most respected ulama-i-kiram, brothers and elders, the Quran-i-Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us as a means of guidance, and in the Quran-i-Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has repeatedly brought forward various advices, various commands. The same things have been repeated time and again, and the purpose of this repetition in the Quran-i-Kareem is to give us one lesson, to constantly revise these lessons all the time. And this repetition is very necessary for us so that we keep our focus in the direction it should be and we do not get distracted in various other ways. Among the things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has advised us in the Quran-i-Kareem, that Allah Ta'ala has Himself related the advice of one personality whom He granted great wisdom. And this personality's wisdom, the Quran testifies to. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ, that indeed we had granted Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam great wisdom, hikmah. So a person whose wisdom the Quran-i-Kareem is testifying to, that personality's wisdom Allah Ta'ala has preserved in the Quran for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. So that every person will benefit from this wisdom and practice upon it, and he will be safeguarded from many problems and difficulties in this world and in the hereafter. And in Surah Luqman, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions these advices. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, that recall the time when Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son. Who was Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam? According to the general consensus of the majority, that he was a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, though not a Nabi, but Allah Ta'ala had granted him a very great position and status. He was an Abyssinian slave. He was an Abyssinian slave. And Allah Ta'ala had granted him this very great position, that in the Quran-i-Kareem his advices are also being recorded for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. Once one person, when Luqman salatu wasalam was sitting in a big gathering and giving his pearls of wisdom, some person came and he said that, are you not the same person who used to be grazing sheep with me in the jungle? He said, yes, I'm the same person. What brought you to this great position and status? So he mentioned many things. Among some of those things are, one is keeping the eyes low, guarding the gaze from everything that is haram, not casting lustful glances around. The second thing he mentioned, always remaining steadfast on the truth, never speaking a lie, never indulging in futile and nonsensical talk, keeping a promise, being content on halal rizq. These were some of the things that he mentioned, that because I very firmly adhered to these things, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala granted me this position. Anybody else who wants this kind of position also can acquire it by remaining steadfast on these aspects. So nevertheless, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, recall that time. إِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ, when he said to his son. This is advice of a father to his son. Many of us are also fathers, we are parents. Many of us have children. So this is advice to us of how we should be advising our children also. And at the same time, every one of us, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Awliya Allah, they are our spiritual fathers. So this is advice to us personally. This is advice to us, even if we may not be somebody's very young son, we are the spiritual children of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Awliya Allah, being our spiritual elders. This is advice to us. In the way that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions this, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُ, what comes forth from this is that this advice to his son was not a once-off thing. Something he said once and that was the end of it. This advice to his son was a continuous thing. And among those various occasions, this was one of those occasions when he mentioned these advices. And the lesson that we have to derive from here is that the father's responsibility does not finish off by advising his son once and saying, well, I did my duty. This is a constant effort, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until there's life, this effort has to continue. There is no time that it's now done, it's over, there's no need to do it any further. It's a constant lifelong effort that a person has to advise his children. And how does he advise them? Allah Ta'ala then says, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Oh my beloved son, Ya bunayya. The very word evokes affection, love. With great wisdom, with hikmah, and with love and affection, this is what will draw the child. Otherwise, always having a very harsh attitude. One is being firm, that is necessary. But being firm doesn't necessarily mean being harsh. A harsh attitude will breed rebellion. So nevertheless, with great love and affection, he is addressing his son and he's saying to him, Ya Bunay, La Tushrik Billah. Don't ever ascribe partners with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are lessons that we have to revise constantly. We may have heard all these things before, but this is something to refreshen all the time, so that we keep these lessons in our mind and heart and we abide by it. Oh my beloved son, don't ever ascribe partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la ghulmun azeem. Verily shirk, ascribing partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in any way, whether it is shirk fi zaat, person worships some other deity besides Allah ta'ala. There's no other deity besides Allah ta'ala. He's worshipping something else. Oh shirk fi sifat. He ascribes the qualities that are exclusive to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to anybody else. That somebody else can give me rizq and sustenance. Somebody else can give me children. Somebody else can do the things for me that are exclusive to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the greatest zulm and oppression a person can commit. Now outwardly this is just one aspect about shirk. But it is far deeper than that. It is teaching us to keep our aqaid correct and to ensure that the aqaid of our children are correct all the time. Sometimes it seems everything is fine, but if we dig a little beneath the surface, we will be surprised what comes up. One child called another child a baboon in a madrasa. So the ustad asked him, what's this? Well, when he said, you are a baboon, the other just replied very casually that, well, we are all from baboons. So the ustad called him up, he says, what are you talking about? He says, well, the teacher told us this. The teacher in school told us we are all from baboons. Well, that's what I believed in. Now, outwardly, everything seems very rosy, very fine. But that child is growing up with something as belief, which is totally fallacious, which the Quran refutes. And he's growing up with this. Tomorrow, he will be performing salah also. He will keep fasting in the month of Ramadan. He will go for Hajj and Umrah. He will give zakat and other charities as well, but he's growing up with something that nullifies his iman. And without iman, all these things are of no value. Without the foundation, that house can never exist. So this is how fundamentally important it is that we constantly see what is the position. We advise our children, we constantly remind them, It is not something that we can be relaxed that the child is going to madrasa. Madrasa is 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. If we count the hours in the year, it will barely amount to a few hundred hours, and the rest of the thousands of hours is outside. It is the parent's responsibility to ensure that the child is taking the right path, he is having the right aqaid and beliefs, and he is not getting mislaid and waylaid by all the various isms. Thereafter, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, from this branching off onto a very, very fundamental and important aspect, that وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, Allah ta'ala talks of the rights of the parents in the middle of this entire ruku. The rights of the parents are being brought forward. And one aspect that the Mufassirin mentioned, that here Allah ta'ala is discussing the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. The first ayat deals with this, the rest of the ruku deals with this. Right in the middle of this, these commands regarding the rights of parents, what the Mufassirin explain is that when Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled the duties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala towards his children in guiding them to the right path, Allah ta'ala then himself intervened and taught the children the rights of the parents. And Allah ta'ala gave them the command of treating their parents correctly. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. To just give the crux of this, Allah ta'ala is giving us the command to treat our parents with kindness to the extent that if the parents be mushrikeen, idol worshippers, and not just being idol worshippers themselves, they are insisting upon that child to also commit shirk. Allah ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them in that command. You cannot do that. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There can be no obedience to the creation when this involves disobedience of the creator. But despite this, that they are commanding you to commit shirk, which you will not obey. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Treat them kindly in the world. Don't obey them in that command of theirs, but still talk to them gently. Do not talk to them in a way that will cause them unnecessary hurt. Do not treat them harshly. Do not hold back from spending upon them to fulfill their needs, to keep them happy. And unfortunately, in this time and age that we are living, with materialism becoming the primary thing in a person's life, and people being guided by what will give them more profit in this world. Unfortunately, the number of cases that keep coming up where parents are being abandoned despite children being able, having the means to care for them, having the means to do everything, but because these aged parents now will become a hindrance in their weekends, will become a hindrance in their holidaying, will become a hindrance in their other entertainments, and who is going to sit and look after these people? So therefore, these cases are becoming more by the day, where the aged parents are now being abandoned. Outside a masjid in Durban, one musalli was passing and he hears some woman crying, old woman crying, and he stops by to ask, and she says, well, my son put me in a taxi and the taxi dropped me off here and he wants to have nothing else to do with me. When we will not be able to care for our parents, then we are inviting the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One very recently, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib down barakatuhum, few weeks ago, was in our country from India, and he quoted one article by a doctor from Karachi. Dr. Noor Ahmad Noor was his name, and he wrote various incidents of his own experiences treating patients in their last moments. And among those incidents, various incidents, I can't go into many of them now, one of those incidents that he mentioned was one person was admitted to hospital where he was working, and this person was admitted in a way where it was obvious that he's now in his last moments, but he was bellowing like a cow, like a bull, to the extent that other patients in that ward began actually leaving their beds and running away out of fear. Eventually they isolated him in another ward, But even in that isolated ward, from a distance he could be heard bellowing in this manner. And it carried on for several days, to the extent that his own father came. And he said that, why don't you all give him some injection or something, that he is then now moves on. So he says, I asked the father, but after all, there has to be something. This is not the norm. What is something behind this? What, after all, what is the reason that this is his condition? In this last moment, he's having such a difficult death. He says, well, Allah knows best what it could be. But one thing was very obvious, that he constantly tormented his mother to please his wife. He constantly tormented his mother to please his wife. Apart from that, it doesn't seem like anything else. There are many, many incidents that he himself narrated, which I don't have time to go into. But this is a fundamental command of the Quran Kareem, as we have seen in this ayat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that even if they are commanding the child to commit shirk, he cannot obey that. But وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, in the same breath Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that treat them kindly in the world. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ, Allah Ta'ala says, be grateful to me, and join to that gratefulness, Allah Ta'ala says, be grateful to your parents. Nevertheless, to take it further, Luqman salatu wasalam then continues with his advice. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala narrates the next advice that he gives to his son. And he says, Ya bunayya innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal. Fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawat aw fil ardi ya'ti biha Allah. Inna Allah latifun khabir. We should not forget that this is advice of a father to his son. And what is he saying to him? That, oh my beloved son, if there is a particle, in taku mithqala habbatin min khardal, a particle the size of a mustard seed, of our understanding the size of an atom, fatakun fi sakhra, if this is in the depths of a rock, aw fi samawat, or in the heights of the skies, or in the depths of the earth, ya'ti biha Allah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows where it is, and Allah ta'ala will bring it forth. Ya'ati biha Allah. Is this some lesson on science or something on geology or whatever the case is? No, this is a lesson on aqaid and tawheed, on the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and a lesson that if this aqeedah comes deep down in the heart, that Allah ta'ala is all aware of everything that I do. If Allah ta'ala is aware of this little particle in the depths of a rock or in the heights of the sky, then Allah ta'ala is aware of me as well. And if Allah ta'ala will bring forth that particle, then Allah ta'ala is fully aware of what I'm doing, and he will bring forth my actions also on the day of Qiyamah. This is every parent's constant worry and concern, that how do I protect my child, how do I protect my son from all the fitnas, from all the distractions. There is only one way of putting the police within them. From how long is a person going to be able to police somebody from outside? But if the police is within, and that only police can be the belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being aware of every single thing we do all the time, having complete power over us at every moment, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can snatch that eyesight in that single moment when it is being cast in the wrong direction. Allah ta'ala can cause that hand to be paralyzed in that moment when it is being spread on that gambling table, or to pull that one arm. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can cause those feet and those legs to become paralyzed in that moment when it is walking towards those zina dens. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has complete power over us, is fully aware of everything. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He knows the deception of the eyes and what the hearts conceal. When this aqidah and belief is firm deep down in our hearts, then and only then will a person be able to save himself. Otherwise, as soon as he feels nobody is watching, he'll do what he wants to do. Thereafter, the Luqman salatu wasalam, the next advice he gives his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salah wa'mur bil ma'roof wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur. Oh my beloved son, aqim as-salah, establish salah in your life. Establish salah. The Mufassirin explained that the command here is not to perform salah, but establishing salah. Sometimes a person says, Alhamdulillah, I make three namazes a day. And he's saying Alhamdulillah upon that also. Yes, Alhamdulillah in one sense that he's not making one or nothing. But it is something to make tawbah about actually, that I'm only making three, not five. And a namazi, as we know, or in our terminology, a namazi is a person who now and then performs namaz. But in the terminology of the Quran and Sunnah, a namazi is a person who performs his five times salah. And for men, it is wajib to perform it with jama'ah in the masjid. Then a person is a namazi. But if there's one namaz in the masjid, one somewhere else, without jama'at, without any valid reason, or we perform some salah and some we miss out, in the terminology of the Quran and Sunnah, we are not namazis. And this is the first command of deen. Aqim is salah. Establish salah in your life. And establishing salah refers to performing it with all its etiquettes, performing it in the sunnah manner, performing it in the way that Rasulullah taught how that salah should be performed. Aqim is salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And enjoin the right and forbid the evil. Enjoin the right and forbid the evil. This task of amr bil ma'roof and nahya anil munkar. This is a command Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is directing to every individual. It is not being directed to any particular group, to any particular people. Every single individual is being told wa'mur bil ma'roof, wanha anil munkar. Yes, indeed, within the capacity that he has in terms of knowledge, he will deal with those things that are requiring that knowledge. Otherwise, the general level that he can invite a person that we should be obeying the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We should not be indulging in anything that is sinful. We should be performing our salah. We should be fulfilling all the other commands of deen. This level is possible for every single person. Yes, the more intricate things, then the person who has more knowledge will then deal with those things. But the basic level of amar bil ma'aruf and nahi anil munkar is being directed to every single person, individual. And this is not just something, by the way, a person does it fine, he doesn't do it, it's not a real problem. When a person will shirk from this responsibility, and as a community when this responsibility will be neglected, then this is what draws down the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the sahaba, and he said to them, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you must certainly command what is right and forbid what is wrong. Otherwise, أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَيَّبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ. Otherwise, it is very possible that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala may descend a punishment from his side. ثُمَّ لَتَدْعُنَّهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. Then you will make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, your du'as will not be answered. In another hadith it is mentioned that the pious among you will make du'as, but that too will not be answered. They themselves will be saved as a result of their piety if they have discharged their duty, but their du'as will not be answered in terms of the general people. So this is a very fundamental duty which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded every single individual. And if we look in our own circle, within our home, how many things are there? Have we even mentioned that we have to be performing our salah? Somebody is not performing the salah. Have we even encouraged that? Even mentioned it time and again? Or something is taking place which is completely against the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have we even brought that forward? Or have we even established something that will bring that deen in that life, in that home, as a result of which all these various things which are against the commands of Allah ta'ala will disappear? Have we established a ta'lim in that house, so that as a result of the barakah of the ta'lim, all the various things that are against the commands of Allah Ta'ala will then slowly go out? If not, then we have to consider our position in the light of this hadith. Luqman salatu wasalam, this is advice he's giving to his son, which Allah Ta'ala is recording for us. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And at the same time he says to him that be patient if anything comes upon you in this path. That generally, in joining the right and forbidding the wrong, or not necessarily generally, but in many cases, the compensation that a person gets is people's enmity. The compensation that he gets is taunts. He will hear some comments. He will hear various things. Allah Ta'ala is from before saying to us, wasbir ala ma asabak, you will require patience also. So bear this patiently. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur, وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا. The last few ayat, there's no time to go into the details, refers and deals with being very humble, being the humble slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who humbles himself for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will elevate him. Allah Ta'ala does not love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَارٍ فَخُورٍ. A proud and arrogant person, a boastful person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not love this. So these are the advices, and in particular this advice of enjoining the right and forbidding the evil, this is the safeguard from all the other things. When a person himself will undertake this duty of inviting towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he will be protected from being invited towards all the various things that take one away from Allah Ta'ala. And this is the purpose and this is the reason why we have all this effort taking place of Dawat and Tabligh and the Ijtima'ats that take place from time to time. Ijtima'at that will take place starting on the 16th of June, which inshallah will start from Jummah Salah, and it is a public holiday in any case. Every one of us should make it our duty from now that we have already resolved ourselves and cancelled anything else to be present there with the same intention that how we can learn what is our duty in life. How we can then fulfill and discharge this duty in our own lives by correcting ourselves, by passing on the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to one and all. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.